What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev. Coming up on today's show, we'll talk about the Hounds 3-0 thumping by Louisville City FC, and we'll preview our crucial upcoming match against the Rhinos. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is one of the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to
So, no Josh tonight. I feel like you guys are like rotating time off. Maybe I'll take off next week and I'll let you guys do the show by yourselves.
We planned it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, Kev, how was England?
It was good. It was really good. It was the second time I've been to England, both for work. This time went to Leeds in Yorkshire. I think it's the Yorkshire region. I know I'm doing a bad
American perspective. I was going to say, is that actually how they say it?
I think it's kind of close to how they say it. But yeah, Leeds is a really cool city. I kept thinking about it from like a, I don't know, from like an urban planning perspective. And like, okay, if you take a city like Pittsburgh, I don't think you could probably say, okay, in one day I can walk from one corner of Pittsburgh to the other. Purely because of its like topography and the way it just kind of sprawls out. I mean, it's like, you know, if you include Shadyside and, you know, Lawrenceville and like Wilkinsburg and all that kind of stuff as Pittsburgh, then it becomes kind of hard to like say, yeah, you can walk throughout the entire city of Pittsburgh. Whereas in Leeds, at least from what I saw, it's more of a kind of contained and dense city where I felt like I can walk from one corner to the other. It'd be a long walk. But it was like kind of a ring, and once you stepped out of that, you're like, okay, you're outside of Leeds right now. But because of it was really cool. It kind of, the city was really dense, a lot of really interesting people, a lot of really nice people. Everyone was really nice and friendly to us over there. And the other thing I kept mentioning was, you know, us Americans are really kind of missing a trick here with this whole idea of a pub. You know, we hit up the pub a lot, and it's just, it's great. It's so great. it's this meeting place of after work, and there's not really like one dining area. There's just these kind of little spindles of a little nook here and a little nook there, and just kind of tables sprinkled around, and just kind of find a place to sit. You sit down, you hang out for a while. It was really nice.
You've been to Piper's. How close would you say Piper's comes to the experience you had at Leeds?
I mean, it still fit as like an American pub because like you still have that back kind of dining area. Mm-hmm. It's very, you know, you walk in and you see the entire place. Whereas a lot of the pubs that we went to in Leeds, you know, you walk in the door and you can't visually see like the entire place. You know what I mean? You kind of have to walk around a corner and, oh, look, there's another little thing here. And, oh, look, there's another. And so that's kind of cool. And it kind of creates these little intimate, you know, places you can kind of hang out with your buddies and, but yeah, it was cool. It was cool. I really want to go back to England and see Liverpool and all that kind of stuff. I didn't get to see Liverpool, but it was good. It was a fun time.
Did your girlfriend make it to Anfield?
She didn't, unfortunately, because of timing and all this other stuff. She ended up, we explored Leeds the first day, and then I went off to the conference, and then she went to Hull, and what's like the home of Hull City, mm-hmm. For Premier League fans. And then she went to York. It's like very, you know, small, I wouldn't say small, but historic town in the Northeast. And then we went to Skipton, which is like a small little town just south of the Yorkshire Dales, which I guess is like a national park or something of England. So we got to see like the rolling hills and the train ride and blah, blah, blah. I feel like I'm talking, this is a Hounds podcast. So I'm talking way too much.
No, it's fine. Just real quick, paint a picture for those of us who are geographically challenged. You being a geography guy, where is Leeds in relation to like London?
It's definitely like in North England, and if you're looking at London, if you draw a line straight up, Leeds probably falls just east of it a little bit. And I don't know, maybe it's about an hour or so plane ride from Leeds to London. So okay. I would guess, I don't know, maybe a 3 hour train ride from London to Leeds. So it's still fairly north of London.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. I thought that the timing of your trip was very, I don't want to say convenient. That's not the right word. But unfortunate, coincidental, maybe. That, you know, BGN added a new show this past week called The Football Foundry, hosted by our friends Tom, Matt, and James, who are all in the UK. So it's funny that you go over there, and it had nothing to do with these guys, but... yeah, they were there. So if you're interested in
anything, it's on international break too. I mean,
right, exactly.
You know, everyone's on international break, so I could, there are no games going on.
Yeah, that's a shame. Josh mentioned that's a huge shame that you go all the way to England and you can't even catch a game. So
there'll be future times where I do.
Yeah, but if you want to hear anything about, you know, any tier of English soccer, these guys go from the EPL all the way down. Make sure you go listen to the Football Foundry. Head over to bgn.fm and check that out. But as you mentioned, Kev, this is a Hound show, so we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the 3-0 loss to Louisville. There are a number of takeaways. I almost feel bad, but like instinctively, I just feel like doing a massive shrug for this game. Like I don't know. What are your thoughts about this game?
Yeah, I can see that. My guess is the reason for the shrug is because probably a lot of us, while optimistic from our last four games, you know, maybe has a pinch of realism in us and see, you know, we're playing the best team in the East right now. And so it'd be hard to expect anything more than at best a draw. So to get a loss isn't that surprising. But yeah, I mean, to put it, you know, to tell two stories of the game. One, to put it in a larger context, it's easy to forget that, you know, last season we were potentially the worst team in the East, and now we are very much definitively a mid-table team, period. I mean, this convinced me, that this run of five games convinced me absolutely of it, is, you know, we play teams around us and we're playing well, we're getting results, and we're putting up a good fight. When we come up to one of the better teams in at the top of the table, we kind of show our stripes a bit and then kind of, you know, fold a little bit. And I thought Louisville's dominance was fairly clear to see over the course of 90 minutes. But, I mean, that once again, that kind of put it like, yeah, we're a mid-table team. And at first, that sounds kind of icky and it doesn't feel good to kind of be resigned to that for this season. But you look back at last season, and that's clear improvement. And so, you know, at this point, I'm happy to kind of accept that and finish as strong as we can this season and expect the same amount of improvement for next season. So that's the kind of larger, broader context that this game kind of reminds me. I mean, the smaller details, I thought it was really interesting from a tactical standpoint. I mean, you know, Louisville kind of rolls out with a 3-4-3. And I thought because of it, I don't know, they kind of made mismatches for us all over the pitch. I thought this was probably, Louisville's system was probably the perfect system to kind of line up against the Hounds in. And
to their benefit, not to ours.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. To their benefit and not to ours. And so, yeah, I mean, I thought they kind of overwhelmed us in the midfield. They always had an extra man covering against Walsh and Herzog. And they had three very, you know, dynamic, powerful forwards against our four defenders. Especially when we're in possession, the fullbacks like to get high. And so sometimes if you catch us quick, then it's even, you know, we could be outnumbered very quickly. So I thought all over the park tactically, Louisville were just perfectly set up, and it made it look somewhat easy at times. And I think on top of it was, you know, we kind of reverted to the worst Hound, like the worst we see of the Hounds all season, in the sense of we dwell too long on the ball, we're taking too many touches, we're not shifting it quick enough, we're not linking up with other players, we're giving the ball away too cheaply. On the flip side, Louisville, you know, take one touch and it's out of their feet to another player, and take one touch, you know, they're moving the ball quickly, they're moving well together, they're linking up, and it was a clear, okay, yeah, we are a mid-table team, this is a top top of the table team, and this is just what happens when that, you know, when that average plays out and you get a result like this. So that's kind of my, I don't know, broad overview.
No, I think that's fair. And I think the argument that, you know, comparing a mid-table team to a top-table team, I mean, we've seen so far this season that when the Hounds have played top-table teams, we've brought it. I mean, we played against the Battery, we've beaten them. We played against the Rowdies when they were at the top of the table, we've beaten them. So I think, you know, Josh and I talked about prior to this game that we were hoping for a draw. But one of the things is that heading into this game, you know, I think we'd like to refer to, and a lot of people were referring to the Hounds as one of the hottest teams in the Eastern Conference, and I think that's true. But I think what a lot of people overlooked was that Louisville had a very similar record over the similar game span, and they were winning against teams that were higher up the rankings than we were, and doing it in a more convincing manner, like 5-0 against Cincy. So my one takeaway is that Louisville are a really good team. And I think part of the reason why I was just sort of like, you know, a shrug is that of the remaining games, this was the one that I looked at and said, you know what, I'm not sure how this is going to shake out. The rest of them, I think we have a fighting chance. But looking at how Louisville's been doing, they're a good squad. And watching them play, I mean, hats off to them. They're a good squad. Like the number of times that the Hounds would try to, if you watch, a lot of the Hounds' offense is predicated off of getting the ball to the forwards, dropping it back, and then doing quick one-touch passes to a forward who has their back the goal, and then a quick flick to somebody who's running. Every single time we try to do that flick to someone that was running, somebody from Louisville was there waiting for it to intercept that pass. And I think a lot of times that leads to frustration. I noted on Twitter, Solto and Okai had almost zero time on the ball. Like, I don't know if that's so much Louisville doing their homework or if it's just that's the way they play. But when you give, I talked about it when I was on Cincy's show, that a sign of the Hounds, like, you know it's going good for the Hounds when Solto and Okai are pushed up the field and they have time on the ball where they can make those passes. If they're dropped deeper, then that means they're not able to make those outlet passes to the forwards, which means we're playing many more just sort of Hail Mary passes up and hoping for something. And that was very much this case. They did not have an opportunity to make the plays. And Louisville were quick. Yeah,
I think also, I mean, simultaneously running along a parallel idea with that, I think Louisville definitely exposed having players like Parks and Kerr on the side of a midfield four against us. I think, you know, when we're in our wheelhouse and we're kind of playing the way we want to play, then, you know, it plays to Kerr and Parks' strength and allows them to attack and all that kind of stuff. But when Louisville kind of put enough numbers in the midfield and like to control the ball the way they did, it forces both Kerr and Parks to definitely to not be forwards in that moment and be midfielders and be tight to Solto and Okai and do their defensive job. And I don't think either of them necessarily, you know, quote unquote, want to do that. I mean, you know, Kerr puts in a shift and but both of them, you know, they want to attack. They're not looking there to break up play and to stay tight to their other two central midfielders. So I think, you know, Louisville exposed that as well. And I think for large portions of the game, both Parks and less so Kerr, but Parks definitely went missing from the game and just you kind of forgot he was on the pitch. And it also kind of forces, I thought Chevy, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong with this, but it seemed like Chevy was dropping deeper than Herzog. Out of the two forwards, Chevy was kind of dropping a bit deeper and trying to put pressure on maybe like their defensive midfielders, whereas Herzog was just occupying their center backs.
Yeah.
I feel, I don't know, like naturally I feel like that should kind of be switched. Chevy's a bit more of a physical presence. He's more of a bigger body that kind of maybe can hold the ball up. And Herzog loves to run everywhere. So, I mean, just kind of allow him to kind of break up play in the middle. I don't know. That was a little quick.
No, I think that there were little things that perhaps worked in the previous games that didn't work against a team like Louisville. And specifically, Louisville's second goal comes to mind where I've said previously that I think that we have one of the best scrambling defenses that's out there in that you lose your shape and you can trust somebody like Adewale or Jack to recover and make a great play. And it's not so much defensive formation. You're sort of just putting a lot on those guys to hustle back and make a play. And on the second goal, we made a play. It just so happened that as soon as we made the play, somebody from Louisville was there to pick it up, and they just walked in on goal. We haven't seen that the rest of the season. We've been able to make a play, and it's clear, and there's nobody else there. And again, I don't know if it's Louisville game planning or it's just they're that good that they were just ready for it. But
I was going to make that exact point where I think both Jack and Adewale are aggressive center backs, so they're not going to be one. They're not the kind of defenders that will stay in line with each other and look to hold their shape and not close down players. Yeah, they're very aggressive, and then all it takes is for them to miss one challenge, and then all of a sudden there's a huge hole in the back of our defensive line, and Louisville exploited that well over and over.
Yeah, so. It's hard for me, I guess, to get too upset about this game. I think in the back of our minds, we like to think that the Hounds are, you know, the best team in the East. But I think realistically, we know that this is a work in progress. And so if we approach this same game next season and we have another year under our belt and it's a similar sort of player, similar sort of style, and we see the same result, then I think it's a chance where you look back and go, I don't know. But, you know, Louisville has had a similar roster for the past few years, you know, same coach, rolling out the same system, and they're firing all cylinders. So it's hard, I think, to get too down about this, especially since, you know, we talked about the idea of trying to keep things in a much broader context and looking about it as a season as a whole. If the Hounds don't make the playoffs, we're not going to point at this game and say, this is the reason we didn't make the playoffs. There are plenty of other games where we picked up draws mid-season that we can point at and say, we should have won those games. This was not that game. If we got a draw, I think it would have been a massive victory for us. So
I think that being said, the only slight worry about the timing of this loss is, you know, we obviously had a ton of momentum coming in this game. Mm-hmm. With what, how many games left? Like 8 or 9 or something?
We have 5 now.
Jeez. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you want to finish strong, and I'm hoping that we can all kind of collectively just wipe this game from our memory and still think like we're unbeaten in the last 4 and we can go on and kind of finish strong in the last 5. So that's a slight concern for me. Also, you know, looking at the standings, I mean, to me it's clear there's 2 playoff spots available now. It seems like there's a top 6 with the Red Bulls kind of neatly snuggling in close to Tampa and to kind of finish off the top 6. And then OCB, Cincinnati, Bethlehem, Pittsburgh, St. Louis. Even St. Louis, I mean, they would really need to put a string together to, I think, maybe make a push. But it's almost 4 or 5 teams vying for 2 spots now. Bethlehem worries me a bit because they have 2 games in hand. But yeah. I mean, this is exciting, though. We're talking about a playoff run 5 games ago in the season. We're doing something right? I mean, this is, we still have something to talk about. Last season, with 5 games to go, we were depressed and drinking hard liquor. Now I'm drinking tea. There's a difference.
Yes, there's a big difference. I guess a few other takeaways from this. I made the comment 12 minutes into the game, it was clear Paul Child is the best color guy in the USL.
Absolutely.
Like, dude just kills it. It's a shame that it's taken this long to get him on the air, but his insight, and he's just so calm and cool, collected. He calls it both ways. There was some conversation on Twitter with the Louisville fans, and they even agreed that, you know, he's the man. Like, just, you know, so it's great to have Paul back. We'll talk, you know, Spirit Night is this upcoming week. Paul will be down on the field. I guess they're bringing some of the Spirit guys back. Hopefully there's some Spirit swag, but hopefully we haven't heard the last of Paul and we can hear him for the rest of the home games, the rest of the season and back next year. Cause the wealth of knowledge and just stories. And I'd love to just sit down at a pub for like hours with him and just let him go, just sit back and let him go. And, awesome stuff. A few other things. There was a lot of questions about towards the end of the game, Matt Perella was pulled out and Cap was put in keeper. And it looked like even Perella was a little bit confused. And you could see that Coach Brandt and Hunter Gilstrap were talking to him on the sidelines. Thanks to our buddies, Matt Grubba and John Krasinski, they ironed this out for us. It has to do with the USL roster freeze. So the idea is that this Friday at 5 p.m., there becomes a roster freeze for the USL in that you can't add any more players after that point. And basically, if you don't have players that have played for you, I think it's 5 games for the season, then they can't play for you in the playoffs. So the issue that we're running into is that because we've had so many injuries at keeper, we may be in a situation where Cap, if something were happening to Perella, Cap would not be eligible to play for us if he didn't make a certain number of appearances for the rest of the season, especially before the roster freeze. You have to have at least one in before the roster freeze. So according to the rules, there were a few things that I sort of highlighted here. I'm just going to read through really quickly. Any player on loan from another league must play a minimum of 5 games during the regular season to be eligible to play in the playoffs. One of these games must occur prior to the roster freeze date. So there's a situation right there. Now, whether or not that means that Cap has to play in the rest of the games this season, I don't know. There is a special exemption for goalkeepers. So as this reads, in the unlikely event that a team is reduced to a single available and healthy goalkeeper due to national team call-up or medically verifiable injury, which we have for both of our starting keepers, the team may petition the USL in writing to be permitted to add a backup goalkeeper to their master roster. This may only be done in the event that at least 2 eligible and healthy goalkeepers are under contract with the club, participating in regular team activities, not on loan with another team, and listed in the final master roster submitted at the time of the roster freeze date. We check off all of those things. This backup keeper will be permitted to remain on the team's roster until such time that one or more of the originally roster goalkeepers becomes available and is able to compete. That won't happen for us. And the USL will have the power to reject the addition of a goalkeeper in this situation if it feels its primary intent is to create a competitive advantage. So there is special exemptions for goalkeepers, but Coach Brandt was asked after the game, and he said if Alex didn't get in, there wouldn't have been a chance for him to play in the playoffs. That was a calculated move we went back and forth on, and we decided to put him in to keep our options open. If the Hounds are up in this game, or if it's tight, I'm not sure if they take the chance, but it seemed like down 3-0, they said, you know what, we might as well do it just to cover ourselves and be safe. So that's why that happened. There was a lot of questions on Twitter, like, what are we doing? Even Perella, like I said, looked confused, like, why am I coming out? It was a strategic move just in terms of player personnel for the playoffs, assuming we get there. So
look at all this stuff you get for nothing, free content, and we're pulling out the stops.
Yeah, making me dig into like USL bylaws. What the heck? I didn't want to do that. I guess, Kev, you know, was there anything that we've talked about? You know, how good Louisville are. Do you think that there's any like takeaways if you're the Hounds in this game? Like Coach Brandt sort of mentioned, like there's nothing you could do at this point but pick yourselves up, get ready for the next game. Every point counts, and you just got to focus on the next game. Do you think when he looks back at this game, he says, you know, we got to make these changes, or is it just that Louisville are just that good?
I think it's hard to make any kind of significant changes with 5 games left. You know, you're not going to completely change the system. You're not going to completely change the formation with 5 games left and so much on the line for a playoff spot. But yeah, I think what you do is, you know, you watch tape for maybe half a day of this game and learn the lessons you can. You know, like one of them, just another reminder, you know, look, guys, we need to move the ball quicker and try to, you know, be a bit more maybe fluid and attached to each other. Other than that, no. I mean, wipe it out of your memory, forget it ever happened, and move on to Rochester. I think it's the best medicine in this case. What do you think?
No, I totally agree. Looking back on it, it's hard to say let's change everything because of one game after the success that we've had over the past 5 games. So I think you do. I think you have to. We were hot for a reason, so now your only hope is that, like you said, that this doesn't stop that steam engine from rolling and we can keep some of that momentum going as we head into these last 5 games and hopefully pick up some points here to get towards the playoffs.
And yeah, and my only slight, I don't know, other thing would be, yeah, I've heard from a couple other teams or whatever, you know, I think right now we maybe have 8 or 9 like 6 out of 10 chances a game, whereas it'd be nice to kind of turn that into maybe like only 3 or 4, like 8 or 9 out of 10 chances a game. I mean, especially in the first half, I think, you know, we were
You're talking about scoring chances.
Yeah, scoring
okay.
chances.
For a second, I was like, what? Okay.
Yeah. Pretty much just increasing the quality of our scoring chances over the match, even if it means we get less chances.
Right.
I think, especially in at the beginning of the first half, you know, you could be kind of fooled into thinking that. That's harsh. I'm not fooled into thinking, but, you know, I think within the first 5 minutes, we get 2 shots on net.
Yeah.
But both of them are either from outside the 18 or just inside at a fairly tight angle with a guy on his shoulder. I mean, so if you're Louisville, you're like, yeah, we'll take that all day. No problem. And so it'd be nice to try to get some kind of higher percentage chances. And I think in order to get that, you need more combination play rather than just having Chevy or Corey or Romeo just kind of burst through 3 people and take a shot.
Yeah.
If we can fix that in 5 games, who knows? Probably not. Maybe it's more of a preseason thing, but yeah.
Yeah. I guess the one other thing to consider is that if the Hounds do end up making the playoffs, this could very likely be a first-round playoff matchup, which just something to keep in mind. There might be a psychological thing that goes on there. You know, last little thing is just shout out to the Coopers and the Cornbread Ultras. So the Louisville has 2 different supporters groups, and both of them were active on Twitter during the game. And we had a lot of fun with them just sort of sharing gifts back and forth. And even though they were sort of dominating the game, they were good spirits about it and had some fun. So it's always fun to reach out and interact with other supporter groups, you know, in a positive way. You know, there was some tongue-in-cheek type stuff, but that's what makes it fun. So shout out to those guys. Had a blast, and, you know, hopefully we do see you in the playoffs, and we can keep that rolling, and because mutual respect across the board. So good stuff there. The loss, as we said, keeps the Hounds at 10th with 34 points. So, you know, thankfully everyone around us either lost or drew, so things pretty much stayed the same in the playoff race. At this point, 3 points is going to vault us up to 7th, so every point from here on out matters. I went in and I looked just at betting odds and ended up at sportsclubstats.com to try to break down what the Hounds need to do to make the playoffs based on, you know, betting stats and things like that. And basically, if the Hounds were to win out, win their next 5 games, there's a 100% chance they make the playoffs. If they go 4-0-1, there's a 100% chance they make the playoffs. Basically, what we're looking at...
Wait, like mathematically or like...
I think so. Like, I'm sort of looking at this table here, and actually, I'll tweet out the table so that everybody can see it. But I think mathematically, if you look at the points, the odds they're saying are 100% of us making the playoffs.
Okay. They're just really, really confident. Like,
right.
It's going to happen.
I think at this point, there's so many variables that it's almost impossible. Like, once we get closer and there's maybe 2 games left, 3 games left, you can start breaking down scenarios and say, okay, if this team wins and this team loses and this team draws, but I think at this point with 5 games left, some teams have 7 games left. Like, you're still sort of guessing a little bit. Basically, the Hounds have more than a 50% chance. If we were able to either not lose any of our games while winning 2 of them, or, you know, if we were able to win 3 and lose 2, that would give us more than a 50% chance of making the playoffs. So looking at, Kev, you know, Josh and I talked about this a little bit in the last show, but if you look at our remaining teams that we have to play. We have to play New York Red Bulls 2, Bethlehem Steel, Ottawa Fury, and then we have 2 games against Rochester. Considering where everybody is standing, you know, Red Bulls and Rochester are above us. Steel is tied with us on points, and Ottawa is below us. How confident are you that the Hounds can get 3 wins out of the next 5 games?
I would guess it matters where the 3 wins are coming from. Because, okay, so let's say we get 3 wins against the 2 Rochester games and the Ottawa game, and we lose to Red Bulls and Bethlehem, the 2 teams that we're probably competing for playoff spots for. That feels like it's not enough. But I mean, I'm even tempted to say if we beat Bethlehem and Red Bulls too, and just maybe get a draw somewhere else, that might be enough to squeak us in if other results go our way with Red Bulls and Bethlehem. I don't know. If I'm being honest, I probably feel a little less confident of like a 50-50 chance. If I'm being realistic, I'm feeling like there's maybe a 35% chance we get in, which isn't terrible. You know, it's three doors. You're picking the right door, right? I don't know. It's not bad. But that's kind of how I feel. I mean, we played Rochester already once. We went away to their field and got a 0-0 draw. We get them at home twice, and Ottawa home, and that could be a big game. Our last game of the season is at home against Ottawa.
Oh yeah,
a team that's, you know, at the bottom. I mean, if you need a result on the last day, there's fewer fixtures that I'd rather pick than at home against Ottawa.
I mean, I'd take Toronto. I'd take the other, you know, Canadian
team. Well, sure. but we can't. I don't know.
No.
Can't be too picky.
No.
But yeah, I mean, so I mean the Bethlehem and the Red Bull game is going to be just massive.
So I asked Josh this question on the last show, and by the end of it, I sort of came to the conclusion that it was too early to really be talking about it anyway. But let me ask you this. Considering that, you know, we're sort of looking at these numbers and we're breaking down scenarios and we're saying, okay, you know, maybe 35% chance. Say that, hypothetically, the Hounds don't get into the playoffs. Say they end up coming in ninth, and maybe they miss out because of something stupid like goal differential. How do you feel about the season as a whole at that point?
I mean, part of me, you know, says, well, I'm a fan. We expect the most out of our team. We want success, blah, blah, blah. So anything outside of a playoff spot, it's hard to say, yeah, you feel good about it. But at the same time, we were crap last season. We had some really nice moments over the course of the season. We have the Derby Cup. We beat Harrisburg. You know, yeah, I'd be okay with that, I think. You know, just missing out on the playoffs, showing progress, having some good moments over the course of the season. You know, that game that I went to, I'm already forgetting who it was against.
It was against the Steel, Bethlehem Steel.
The Steel, yeah. I mean, what a game! I mean, you know, to beat them 3-2 and to get the Derby Cup and all that kind of. I mean, so those are pluses. I would be happy with just finishing out the playoff spot and getting those other accolades on our shelf. What about you?
Let's not forget that, you know, the Washington Cup is still up for grabs here. The Hounds are leading 4-1, but if we're able to get a win or a draw against Bethlehem, we walk away with two cups. You know, we say cups. What we need to do is we need to get like a bronze Starbucks cup or something, and like, because you can't really like bronze like a Red Bull can. Like, you'd have to get it like engraved like Red Bulls, and then at that point it feels like, why are we doing this if there's a Red Bull team? So maybe we'll just have to get like a bronze Starbucks cup, and that will be what we get for the winner of the Bethlehem Pittsburgh Derby.
I want like a paper mache mold of Taylor Washington's head. That's what I want. And that's what I want the cup to be. And then we could, I don't know, we have the paper mache mold, we can fill it with some kind of, you know, filling and let it like harden, and then we'll just have Taylor Washington's head, and that'll be the cup.
You know what, MLS has I forget, there was a tournament in, I think it's Arizona, and the trophy is like an armadillo with a cowboy hat and like pistols on his hip. Like, we could totally have a Taylor Washington bust that like the back of it's open and you could like drink out of, and it's just
yeah,
this
that'd
thing
be amazing.
So Taylor, yeah, if you're willing to pose for that, we can totally make that happen. This could be a lot of fun. So
you're willing to paper mache your head.
We'll stick those little like straws up your nose so you could breathe, yeah. And then we'll just cover your face in plaster, and it'll be awesome. You will live on in infamy as the symbol of the rivalry between Bethlehem Steel and the Riverhounds.
Small shout out to Harrisburg. They finally won after losing for an entire season. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Sorry, Harrisburg. Yeah. The good news was it was against St. Louis, so that keeps them below us, at least for now. They're only 3 points back, so they're still in the hunt. But for us, it all starts with Rochester this weekend. So Rochester have quietly worked their way into third in the East by just picking up points recently against teams they really should have. They won 1-0 against Harrisburg, 2-1 over St. Louis, 1-0 over TFC2, who are at the bottom of the table, and a 1-1 draw with Ottawa. So this isn't like they're tearing up the top of the East. They've also been losing to more competitive teams. So they lost 2-1 to Red Bulls 2, 3-2 to Cincy, and 1-0 to the Battery. So when I look at Rochester, I see them sitting in third, but I also think of them as a team that, at least in terms of when you look at the results to teams that we've played recently, our results are very similar. So I'm not too afraid of Rochester. And we've had some luck with Rochester in the past. This team can be beaten. As you mentioned, you know, last time we played was the end of July. It was a 0-0 draw in Rochester. They're a much better team at home, 7-2-3, than they are away, 4-3-5. So the fact that both times we play them are going to be high mark could be in our favor. And at this point, you're looking for anything to tip the scales. So, yeah.
I think also, I mean, if you look at, with the exception of a couple outliers, especially at the beginning of their season, I mean, they kind of have definitely reverted back to that, I don't know, stereotypical Rochester that I have in my head of a lot of their games are 1-0s or 1-1 or maybe sometimes 2-1, but a lot of it's very low scoring games. Like you said, they're not great away. So, you know, to have them at home, and if we can just, yeah, have our front four firing. And at the very least, like, you know, like we mentioned, the big games aren't necessarily against Rochester. So if we get results against Bethlehem and Red Bulls, and just even two draws with Rochester over the course, I mean, that wouldn't be bad for us, I don't think. And I feel okay about that. I mean, I don't necessarily, you know, I feel okay with a low-scoring Rochester coming to town that are bad away from home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I feel more confident in that than, you know, I don't want to say that Red Bulls make me nervous, but just after the success that they had last year, you know, and the fact that some of their wins recently, you know, they won 4-0 against Cincy, they won 4-2 against the Rowdies, you know, they beat Toronto 2-1, but again, Toronto's the bottom of the table, so.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want to go up against another team that likes chaos in a game. Like, if you know, it seems like the Hounds kind of, like, want, like, a tennis match. Just, like, a ball going anywhere, and then we'll capitalize more times than you will. Where, you know, if they come up against another team that is okay playing that way, I feel like I'm more like I'm expecting us to make more mistakes than the other team would, and so then we lose. Whereas a team like Rochester that doesn't want a tennis match, doesn't want chaos, just wants to kind of play a very measured, structured game, you know, I think we can. It's more likely that if we make a mistake, I think they're less likely to capitalize on it than if they make a mistake and we are more likely to capitalize off of it, if that makes sense.
No.
I'm feeling good about this game.
Yeah. I guess a few things to watch out for, or at least one thing to watch out for, in their most recent game against Ottawa, which was a 1-1 draw. They were missing their top scorer, Wall Fall, that's his name, due to card accumulation. He will be back for this one. They did, Ottawa got the draw, or they got their own goal off of a PK. I don't want to say the call was questionable, but there was some, like, that was going on. So they could have eked out a 1-0 win in that game, but instead, you know, got unlucky. But they are a quick team. They have some quick forwards, so I think this is going to be interesting. Kev, in your mind, you know, we talked about this a little bit. Do you change anything if you're Coach Brandt?
No, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change the starting lineup. I wouldn't change the team talk before the game. I wouldn't change it. I mean, I just kind of, like I said, kind of keep rolling. Forget about last week against Louisville, and I would still feel pretty confident about it getting a positive result against Rochester.
If we don't get a positive result against Rochester, do you start considering changing things then? How on the edge of your seat are you about staying true to what's gotten us here?
I think the only thing is the past 4, 5, 6 games that we haven't changed a lot. I feel like he hasn't changed because things have been going well. Whereas previous to this run, we've seen a lot of different lineups. We've seen a lot of different players. We've seen a lot of different kind of systems. He's okay with changing things around, but it almost felt like, you know, he was trying to change things around to solve a problem, and it feels like Brandt might think that he has now solved the problem with this set of players, with this formation, with this kind of system. And so to have one blip in that doesn't really seem like a legitimate rebuke to like, you know, this answer. So I once again, with five games to go, I don't think he changes anything. Do you?
No, I agree. I don't think he changes anything at all. So what's your score prediction here? How do you think this one shakes out?
I could see a really nervy 1-0 where maybe we score right before halftime and then we're just hanging on for dear life and like stoppage time in the second half and Rochester pushing and getting chances and we somehow walk away with a 1-0. I equally wouldn't be surprised if it was a draw, but I don't know. I've seen enough personality and fight in this team over the past four games before the Louisville game where I think they'll all know what time of the season it is. I think they'll all know that they can't let Louisville slow down their momentum. And so, yeah, I think they'll be hungry for this game, and I think they'll respond.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm sort of looking back to the Harrisburg game, the third Harrisburg game, where we knew going into it that we absolutely had to get a result to come away with the cup. And we walked away with a 3-0 win, and the guys came out flying. And there was no mistake that, you know, that's we were going to walk away from that game. And leading up to that point, there were a number of matches that you easily could have gotten down on yourself about. But we said that when you look back on the season, that Harrisburg game very well could be the turning point of the season. And then we also said that the diving save by Trey in the St. Louis game could have been the turning point of the season. And I think both of those could still hold. But I think that the Louisville game, there were some people from Louisville that were saying, you know, they needed to watch out against the Hounds because this could be a trap game where Louisville overlooked. I think a little bit could have also been the other way around, where the Hounds are looking at the rest of the schedule and they're saying, Louisville are a really good team. You know, if Louisville get a quick goal, it's really easy to get down on yourselves. But I feel like knowing what's at hand the rest of the season and looking at where these teams are on the table, I think you look at Rochester and you say, we're going at them. So I could, like you said, I could see this being a 1-0 nervy win. I could also see the Hounds come out and get two goals in the first half quick and then sort of lose their shape a bit and Rochester get one back. So
Quickly, last thing, is playoff hopes over if we tie this game?
No.
Is playoffs hopes over if we lose this game?
No. I mean, statistically, no. But but mentally, I think that...
I think that'd be hard to swallow, walking off two straight losses after being so hopeful and everything like that. And that's my only other worry about the result of this game was it might start to play in the psyche of, you know what, we just can't lose this game. You know, if we don't lose this game, everything's still fine and rosy. But if we lose this game, things can get dark pretty quickly. And so hopefully that doesn't cause any kind of tentative play or anything like that. But
I mean, like we said, it's really, you look at the next five games and we can afford to lose maybe one of them as long as we're winning three of them. So you can see, you know, where the players are on the field and they start doing the math in their head and things can start to, you know, like you said, you psychologically, you can almost psych yourself out or you get too focused on things. And so I don't think a draw is the end of the world here. I don't think a loss is the end of the world here, but mentally to go from a five game, you know, lossless streak to now taking two losses coming into this home stretch. Yeah. Mentally, how does that play on you? But I think, like I said, seeing how the team came out at Harrisburg, knowing that we needed a win, knowing what it meant, and then they end up playing, you know, one of the best games we've seen so far this season. I don't want to say this is a trap game for Rochester, but you know, you sort of outlined that you think there's a clear top six. Looking at where Rochester are in the table, I don't think that there's any chance of them not making the playoffs. I think they're just sort of playing for position now. Now, they will have in the back of their mind that they have to play us twice. So there is that psychological battle that goes on. But no, I don't think that a draw or a loss is the end of the season at this point. If you ask me this the next time we play Rochester, like second to last game of the season, that's a different story. But we're still far enough away that I'm not too concerned. I think, you know, as Coach Brandt said, it's 15 points. So they just keep looking at it and saying, we got to get as many of those 15 points as we can. So, yeah, that's sort of where we're at. So that's what we think. Let us know what you think. The game is going to be on Saturday at 7 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. It will be Spirit Night. Like we said, Paul Child mentioned that he will be back on the field. Hopefully he is back in the box as well. We've missed you, Paul. We've missed you so, so much. Hopefully there will be lots of Spirit swag. It would be fantastic. Hounds, I don't know if you have this planned or not. If the Hounds wore Spirit throwback gear, that would be amazing. Especially if you then make it available in the team store. I'm just saying that might be a really hot item. So we'll have to wait and see for that. If anybody at the Hounds has any insight into that, feel free to let us know. And people can you know, make sure that their bank accounts are all set up so they can go crazy on that. Otherwise, Kev, is there anything else? You good?
You covered it. Yeah, I want Spirit swag, and that's about it.
Yeah, I want some Spirit swag, too. As I mentioned in the intro, if you're looking for some EPL and English soccer talk, we've been doing it a little bit. Kevin, I'm sure you feel fantastic after that thrashing that Liverpool got from Man City.
You couldn't just let it go.
I really wanted to, but then I said, no, I can't. So, yeah, it wasn't good, was it? No.
It wasn't good, but... You know, Josh, if you're listening, your Everton lost as well pretty handily. So
who'd they lose to?
Tottenham.
Yes, they did. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, you're trying to claim that as I was like, what? That's like, you know, that's, you know, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Spurs beat Everton. That's what I'm saying. Sorry, Josh. No, I watched the beginning of the Liverpool game, and honestly, they didn't look terrible. It looked like Salah missed a number of chances that he should have taken. But then I had to leave to go to my kid's soccer game. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're looking for more EPL and English soccer talk, head over to bgn.fm, click on the newest show, Football Foundry. Like I said, our friends from across the pond, Tom, Matt, and James, talk all levels of English soccer, and they provide insight that's typically missing from US-based shows. So it's really cool stuff. They get into some of the lower league stuff that you don't hear a lot about. That's just, it's fascinating. It's part of the reason why we do what we do, just talking about lower league stuff. It's a lot of fun. So absolutely go check them out. You can follow us on Twitter at Mongols. Email us at mongols@bgn.fm. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave us a review. Get down to the game this weekend. Cheer on the boys. Be loud. They need your help. So make sure that you are there, that you are the 12th man. Get behind them. Yeah. Otherwise, let us know what you thought about the show. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Before you go, please help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongols.com. Become a Supporter. Thanks.